The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You wait in darkness for answers that you can't see. You know what you deserve, and you're wondering why your life is not what you thought it should be. When the night breaks, your heart still aches. How can you face the dangers? Keep breathing, you'll make it. Don't give in, you're not done yet. Sometimes all that you can do is keep breathing and believing. Don't let go, just hang on tight. And keep breathing. When every moment is almost more than you can take, well, you've got to know some tomorrow will bring you a breakthrough. That's the reason why you've got to get through today. When the night's gone, you will be strong. Keep breathing, you'll make it. Don't give in, you're not done yet. Sometimes all that you can do is keep breathing and believing. Don't let go, just hang on tighter a little longer. When you feel like you're dying, with every breath you bring in hope, you're letting go of all your doubts. When nothing is easy, you gotta keep going. Even when you don't know how, you don't have to know how, no. Keep breathing, you'll make it. And don't give in, you're not done yet. Sometimes all that you can do is keep breathing and believing. And don't let go, just hang on tight. You feel like you're dying, and keep breathing, and don't give up, 'cause you are not done yet, and keep breathing.
Ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 17th day of November, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 13. The S&P is down 5. The comp is off by 20. Good afternoon, Michael. Oh, wait. Michael may still be in the green room. Hang on. Let me bring him
in. I am. I am in the green room.
Hang on. I'll fix you.
Okay. Thanks.
Guys, can you touch up his hair right there? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Now you can come out on the stage.
All right.
Ah, I love it when I hit the wrong button. I was going to give you a smattering of applause.
Job Thank
well
you.
Done
Thank
in the
you.
Live trading room today.
Just fake David out.
Okay. Now, look at this chart. Okay. And then we'll move on. All right. Anything else? No. This is an hourly chart. Yesterday we talked. I drew a circle. For those of you that can see the charts, I got an email yesterday from someone who says, hey, you know, I've been around forever, but I've been away for a while, and I just came back, and you have a new format, and I can hear your voice, but these charts you're talking about, what's going on? And so, without any further ado, let me just really quickly say it, because those who can't see it, it won't matter anyway. All right, on the home page of the site, cfrn.net, go to the right-hand side of the page, look under the radio tower. You'll have two options. One is to listen to the stream 24/7, except for the 2 hours a day that we're live, okay? Below that, it says if you want to participate in the live discussion, see the charts, interact with us, click here. That'll take you to a page that allows you to register to actually come into this room, not only hear our voices, but see our charts and ask questions. And I think that's the really important part, not only that you're able to see the charts, but that you're able to participate in the discussion and ask questions. Well, I don't understand what you just said. Tell me what you think about this. That kind of thing. Now, it's a brief registration process. You have to go through it only once a week. Okay? What will happen is once you register, then tomorrow morning you're going to get an email that says, hey, don't forget, in 30 minutes or whatever the time frame is, the radio show starts. Click here to join. Now, today's Thursday. So if you go and do that process today, you'll get notified tomorrow about tomorrow's show. But then in order to get notified of Monday's show and to get Monday's link and the link that will be good for the entire week, next week, then on Monday morning, you're going to have to go through that registration process again, and then it will be good for the entire week, okay? Register once, it's good for the entire week. Because today's Thursday, it gets you in today, gets you in tomorrow, but then Monday, you got to do it again, good for the whole week, all right? So that's how that works. We drew this circle the other day, and we talked about what a bearish, ominous thing that was. In fact, it was the podcast 1-2 days ago. Actually, yesterday was probably the day we were really talking about it. So you can go back and you can have a listen. Those of you who can see my charts, anytime you see this, in fact, I think I even wrote about it on the blog. I may have posted a picture on the blog, but you can see it here. We're right at a zone, and price takes out this low just handily. Okay, then we go into these small bodies. We walk the line. This is a zone runner, okay, and then the drop. Okay, but let's get to last night. That's what we want to talk about really quick. We had a tweet. Originally, it said sell 1233 on a stop. But as the market inched a little higher, that entry became viable at 3450. And the tweet said, 10-point target, 5-point stop loss, looks reasonable if triggered. Plus, I said all the other stuff about trading's risky, you can lose all your money, make sure you use a hard stop. You only have 140 characters to work with, so sometimes it takes two or three tweets to actually get the whole thought out there. There is an app, by the way, for those who don't know, that like you can write 12 pages and tweet it, and it'll put like a couple lines, and then when somebody clicks it, it'll blow up the whole page. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Twitter apps. If you don't follow us on Twitter, we invite you to do so. It's very simple. Go to twitter.com/CFRN. And just click the green follow us button. Follow me, follow us, whatever it says. Okay, so did that trade run 10 points? It did. Right down to the zone. That's where I had my target. It even overshot it a little bit. We actually got down to a low of 12, 20 and a quarter. Okay. I was just looking at this 23 area. You know, in at 33 and then sell it to 23. Now, because the market moved a little higher, I actually came back, and originally I had said sell 23 on a stop or consider selling 23 on a stop. But then I came back like 2 hours later and said selling 1234.50 is now an acceptable entry on a stop. And then I went on to say if your entry does not trigger on the short side at either price, that's okay. Again, I'm limited by the number of characters. But I didn't want you to feel hard-pressed to find some kind of a trade in the other direction. Okay, if you didn't get triggered in, because I didn't see a trade on the long side, that's why I only put the short side out. On the euro, we had a reasonable trade there, and I'll show you real quick what that looks like, and then we'll just get right on over to Michael, and he can do the recap for the morning. Okay, here's the euro. Okay, euro's pulling back last night. Now, I want you to see this. And we can talk about this more in the partners meeting tonight with the partners. Oh, by the way, tonight, partners meeting, 9 p.m. every Thursday night. Hey, Michael, that's really throwing my inner clock off. Oh, because I was always geared up at 6 p.m. my time to be ready to roll. And now it's 7 p.m. my time. So
that's throwing you off?
Oh, I'm God, sorry. It's messing me up, man. yeah, so anyway, but I'll be there unless you guys want to come at 6, then. I'll be there then. All right. See this? The steep
you'd have
angle.
To listen to my kids.
You guys have heard me talk about the angle, okay, the steep angle. Yeah, I'm watching that last night. Okay, I'm thinking it's going to break here. It didn't break till it got up here. Nonetheless, what the tweet said on the euro was consider selling 13455. 13455. Okay. Consider selling 13455 on a stop. Where's that? That's down here. Okay.
I don't know where your cursor is right now, but it didn't go where you think it went.
Seriously.
13455.
Oh, I see on my monitor screen it's hung up. Now? Yeah.
Now it's way down there to
okay.
the right.
Okay, thanks, good. Okay, so 13455. Okay, so I was looking for a test of this low, 134.20, which is a pretty important kind of an area from a historical perspective. We didn't get all the way there. We got to, now this is an hourly chart, so it's really more than it might look like. The low's 134.36, so that's 19 pips, okay, if you got it stem to stern. Now, the stem part was easy because I gave you that. The stern part, well, that's another whole ball of wax. I didn't put a target on this one, but I mean, even if you only if you got half of it, it was a 19 pipper. So I don't know. Let's say you got maybe you got 10. What does it pay, Mike? $12 a pip.
That's right. That would be $125.
Yeah. So you know, it's a little something to compensate you for being up late at night, I suppose. I mean, we had this low here, this low here. I really didn't expect it to go further. If it had gone further, that would have, like, set in motion a whole entirely additional trade. And I'm not ruling out the possibilities of that happening. But for what we did last night, I'm just trying to recap that real quick. We had a short at 134.55 right there. And we had a short at 1234.50 right there. And, boy, we're going back to test that area again. Now, guys, this could be a really good double bottom. So this is from a big picture, hourly view. Keep that in mind. Do we have a zone below us? Partners know that we do. Okay? And if we go there from here by close of business tomorrow, you'll see a lot of furrowed brows on CNBC. I'll just leave it at that. All right, Mikey, it's your show. Take it away.
Woohoo! All right. Let's grab the thing right here. Hold on a minute. Let me grab the charts first. Okay.
He's grabbing the charts, folks.
I am grabbing the charts. We are switching spots.
You guys have no idea how many moving parts are involved with this. There's guys running all over the studio with the camera dollies and the whole thing. Big boom mic swinging in. It's harrowing.
Harrowing. We all have our own separate offices. Separated by 2,500 miles.
You've just been transported from America's largest amusement park to, I don't know, wherever this guy's at.
Nice little suburb outside Boston.
Harvard.
All right. Here we go.
Roll tape.
We are going to be rolling in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2011. I just want to go over the trades that we took in the live trading room this morning, trades we didn't take, trades that set up, and all of that. Now, let me start right out by saying, oops, hold on, here we go. Here are the results, all right? Now, we changed the format so that we're gonna take 2 points as quick as we can, and we suggest that everyone that takes 2 points as quick as they can, if that's your goal, then just stop trading that account. Which is what we did, all right? But the day opened up right here at 9:32, pre-market here. This was a good trade for the George trade. Now, after the BBC got outside the box right here, all right? After the BBC got outside the box, we had a lower pivot in place. We had a fresh bubble right here, and the price pulled back up to the BBC. We shorted the BBC right up here, and we took 2 points out of that. Now, 2 points was our goal. That account this morning, so we had reached our goal in the first 9 minutes. All right, yesterday I had made a mistake in the first 9 minutes. Today we reached our goal in the first 9 minutes. Moving along, we needed a lower swing right here to be able to take another trade. We did get a lower swing right over here, but we needed a fresh bubble at this point, so we could not get back into the trade there. All right, I'm going to keep scrolling over here. Now, right in here, we had another opportunity. This was a fresh bubble. It pulled back up to the BBC. That trade did not go in our favor. It went against us. It went in a direction we weren't looking to trade in. Now, in here, this was right on a news event, so we didn't trade anything right here. We were getting ready to put a trade on, but we didn't trade anything. We wanted to wait till it got out of there. All right. Right over here, we had a nice trade. It pulls back down to the BBC right here. We had a bubble, though it didn't matter because it was inside the box, which makes it a George trade. Okay, so we took that trade right there. It took us a while to get through it all, but it ended up going to our profit target right there for 2 points. All right, we had a fresh bubble here. Now that I look at it, that's barely a bubble. But anyway, we took the trade, and it went against us. So we gave back 2 points. I made a mistake on this trade right here. I shouldn't have taken that trade, but I did. And I lost 2 points on that one. On the flip side of that, we should have taken this trade right here. Oops, I'm sorry. Nope, we shouldn't have. Still scrolling along. We wanted to wait till we get outside the box. We had a trade right here. Now on this one, we got 2 points out of it, but I was looking for it to go up to the next zone, which was way up above us, so I ended up taking a break even on it, but it did give 2 points. All right. Now, as the morning wore on, hold on, I'm trying to scroll here, and it's not scrolling with me. We took a short trade over here. Again, we were looking for it to get down to the zone. This gave, I think, a point and a half, almost 2 points, and we took a break even on that one. Now, I'm just showing you the opportunity that you could have had. There was 2 points in that last one, 2 points in this one. There was no trade right in here. This was right at the close of the morning show. There was a trade right here on the long side. We didn't take, which was another 2 points that could have been taken. So that's 6 points that could have been taken that were not taken. All right. Two of the trades we were in, we just took a break even on. Now, we had a couple of trades. We had a couple of trades over here that we took as well. I think we took them from the 2100s. Well, I'll point them out over here on the 2100 tick. Okay. There was one trade we were in over here that went 3 points. This one right here. Okay, we shorted it up here. I think we were in it at 29.75. I believe we were in this. And it dropped all the way down to 26 half, so 3.25 points on that drop. A bunch of the partners took the points off the table then. I think Dwayne even took some points off the table. I was looking for it to drop down to the zone at 20.22, I think, 22.23. So I just moved my stop to break even, and I was letting the thing fall. Either way, it came back up, and it got me out of break even. Okay. But there was three points in that trade. So far, there's about 9 points that were on the table that I didn't take, mainly because I was doing the rest of the morning session for training more than actual trading. All right, because I want to make it clear to everyone. My goal was to make these 2 points right here in the morning, and I did that in the first 9 minutes. The rest of the morning I was doing for training more than anything else. excuse me. There's an opportunity setting up right here on the 2100. If it pulls back up here to 1228, that would be a good opportunity to short. You see, we pierced the envelope right there from below. We did that over here as well. That suggests a 3 to 5 point move down. This suggests a 3 to 5 point move down. This right here suggested a 3 to 5 point move down. Is that the same one? This over here suggested a 3 to 5 point move up. And let's see, I think that was pretty much all we had this morning, wasn't it? Nope, there was another one over here. A 3 to 5 point move down right here at 9:40. All right, now as I flip over here to the 10,000 contract, I'm just going to look at the DMT on the 10,000 contract whenever it populates for me. There we go. Okay. Because we had a couple of pierces over here this morning on the 10,000. This is today, November 17th. We pierced the envelope from the bottom right there. Now on the 10K, it's a 5 to 6 point move that you're looking for. Here it pierced it at 27, and it dropped down to 23.5. So we didn't make the full 5 points on that one. It dropped down quite a bit, but not the full 5 points. And we're looking as the day wore on. Over here we had a pierce of a blue envelope suggesting it was going to move up 3 to 5 points. We split this candle. This is the one that I was long in a while ago over here, and I was looking for it to keep going up. This one went up about 4 points, I think. It didn't go the full five. Let's see. Did we have any more over here on the 10K? It looks like it's setting up for one right now. Right here, we pierced a red envelope suggesting a 5 to 6 point move down. That was at 1228, and so far it's moved down to 1224, roughly. So that gave 4 points so far. On the YM, We only took one trade on the YM this morning. It's right here. We took this short trade right here. Once we had a bearish cross of the BBC, we waited for a pullback up to the BBC. We shorted right there for a quick 7-tick loss. Then there was opportunity over here to go long. We missed that one. All right, after the bullish cross, pull back to the BBC to go long. Over here right now, still scrolling. We had a bearish cross with a pullback up to the BBC over here. Now, the way it pulled up with this huge momentum bar, we didn't want to get involved in that trade, okay? We had a bullish cross with a pullback down to the BBC, and it was the same thing. The way this bar was painting, it was a big momentum trade, okay, a big momentum bar, so we didn't want to get involved in it. And that brings us into the break period and where we are right now. So the window of opportunity right now after the bearish cross, the pullback to the BBC would be at 11.852 roughly, 11.850 maybe, 11.851, 52. The window of opportunity is between the BBC and the MA1. Now on the YM trades, I typically use 7 ticks risk and 20 ticks profit. All right, that's what I look for. All right, that, my friends, was the morning session. Right over here, we just had another opportunity here. We had a fresh bubble with a pullback up to the BBC on the 4-tick range. So the short on that one would have been from 27 even, and it dropped down to 25, giving the 2-point profit. All right, and that's all there is to it. There's not that much more to the whole thing. All right. We have a partners meeting tonight. I want to remind everybody that's in here that is on a free trial. If you want to get into the partners meeting tonight, you need to become a partner. I will put out here my email so you can send any questions you have to me. All right. tech@cfrn.net. That should be showing up on your desktop right now. You can email me at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at cfrn.net, and I'll tell you what you need to do to become a partner so you can get into that meeting tonight. Partners meetings are really useful, I think, to all the partners, to everyone that attends. And they generally, it's at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. They generally last 1 to 2 hours. Tonight shouldn't be any different. Okay? So if you're in here on a free trial, or if you've taken free trial in the past and you want to get into the partners meeting tonight, become a partner and get involved in all the new stuff that we have rolling out hopefully next week.
Type it on the screen, Mike. The video
send me an email.
Pick up my voice anyway,
I'll
so just type it on the screen.
All right. That's it. Okay, the recording is off.
And I was muted. I was trying to talk to you.
Oh, sorry. It's all good now. 11/17/2011.
Alrighty then. Okay. Let's see. We got a few more minutes before we go to David here. A couple things I want to talk about really quick. One, Michael, if you'll scroll back on your YM chart. So
scroll
yes. Left.
Okay, right. What time? 11? Right in here?
No, right up there, guys. See the zone? This whole swing to the downside. I don't know what larger time frame you might have or be able to go to or open that up or however you can do it.
Yeah, it's opening. Uh-oh. That's not a pretty error message.
Critical error, yeah. I don't think you can recover from that. It says you can.
No.
You can click continue, but when you click continue, it usually won't continue.
Oh. I'm trying to continue.
Yeah.
It looks like it's probably a memory issue on my side.
Yeah, it probably is. All right, I'll grab the charts.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No. Well, I'm just glad you got through the video.
Yeah, me too. It was when I blew it up. I'm sure it's a memory issue because I have about 100 things going over here right now.
God, my kids love that when you bump fists and blow it up. Yeah. Okay. All right. No memory issues there. All right. My chart's up. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
What I wanted to show, and I don't have an available chart. Well, I can just do it on this one. Yeah. Okay, on overnight, well, this is just a small time frame. Let me go to something a little more. Yeah, it would be bad if my chart's froze up now.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Is Bert, make Bert an organizer. Oh, I see what happened here.
That was in here. I think I did.
Make him an organizer in case we both lose control. Okay. Here, I just want you guys to see this. And don't worry about all the different colors, and I don't know what that is. I just want to show you. I want to show you the price action. Okay, when we made that big move down from this zone here yesterday into this zone, okay? It's on the YM. Let me make sure I got the right ones on that chart. I'm pretty sure I do. 2530, yeah, okay. And then 1015, okay. So we had this big move down yesterday afternoon, and then in the overnight we pushed up to 910, 915, knocked us back down. Up to 910, 915, knocked us back down. And this one, we couldn't even quite get up there. Okay. And then on this attempt here, we hit it, 910, 915. And now look where we are, 803. It's a 100-point trade. And when we hit that zone this morning, in the live trading room, I commented that that was kind of important. Although we hadn't hit an upper zone on the ES at that point, I said we just hit it on the YM, so the markets may start to turn here. Now they did some back and forth stuff, but this was a key area. So if the markets do find some solid ground down here, like maybe on the ES, the 12-22-23 area that we outlined on the hourly chart from last night, like this here. See, we're already dropping below that. And I said, if this area doesn't hold, now, we haven't taken out last night's low yet, but we're knocking on the door, okay? If we continue in that direction, the next stop down is way down. Like I said, it's furrowed brow time on CNBC. Everybody will be freaking out. Sky is falling. So keep an eye on this area, the overnight low on the ES. And then on your YMs, watch this area, okay? Because the market has tried one, two, three. There's been three strong attempts on this time frame and two kind of feeble attempts to get through that area. But definitely three good attempts, and it's been held at bay. So, you know, watch that. Keep an eye on that area. I think that's going to be important if this market can find some solid ground below us and can turn up and head higher. Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to say just really quick, and I am going to do this really quick. I'm not going to belabor this because I want it to go on record because it's been so long since it's gone on record. We started the radio program 6 years ago. For those of you who are relatively new, maybe you're tuning in for the very first time, we welcome you. Glad to have you as a part of our audience. We have been doing this for 6 years. And when we first started the radio station, we were not trading futures. We didn't know from futures. We were equity traders, old school. And back in that day, and that wasn't a very big window of time, but it was big enough. And I would often hear the question, oh, using God to make money. And that used to be a bone of contention with me. And anyone that listened to the radio program for any length of time realized that this was not some shady kind of, you know, televangelist thing. Not that all televangelists are shady. God forgive me. They're not. By any stretch. But then as we moved into the world of futures and away from equities, that whole questioning thing kind of went away, I thought. But it turns out, from talking to somebody yesterday, it never really went away. It just kind of went to the back of the room. That some people, probably people coming from the equity world, where it's full of the pump and the dump and the front run, the dummies, and all that kind of stuff, the market makers, they don't understand as they cross over into the world of futures that this is a different ballgame. And that's why, one of the reasons that we moved from equities into futures was because it was such a cleaner business. It's an electronic market. First in, first out. I got just as much, if I put in an order and Goldman Sachs puts in an order behind me, guess what? I'm going to get filled before he does. That's not going to happen on the equity side. Okay, that market maker is going to favor whoever can benefit him financially. All right, and me with my little order, whatever it might be, I'm not that guy. I'm going to continually get shoved to the back of the line on the equity side. Future side, electronic market, first in, first out, FIFO. Love it. Okay, big reason why we moved. And I thought, well, you know, that'll take away the whole thing of people wondering, oh. But then I heard from somebody yesterday that, no, it's not a question that's completely gone away. Nobody bothers to bring it up to me anymore because, well, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know, you don't hear crazy. There's no crazy. Well, there's crazy talk, plenty of it on the live show. Okay, we promise live charts and even livelier discussion. You'll hear crazy talk, but not crazy religious talk. You don't hear me coming on here telling you how I was deep in prayer last night after fasting for 3 days, and an angel appeared before me and told me I should get long the YM. Okay? Never once have any of you ever heard that. Nor, for the newcomers, I just want to tell you, you never will. Because if you've been here a while, you already know and you're like, dude, just move on. But I want to say this for the benefit of the new people who are perhaps a little bit apprehensive, waiting for that stuff to start. It's never going to start. That's not how we roll. That's not how we pray. It's not how we believe. It's not how we trade, okay? So, if you're new, if you do have apprehensions, you can relax, okay? And, plus, nobody's going to pass the collection plate, all right? If you decide to become a CFRN partner, then that's of your own volition. That's a business transaction outside of anything to do with the spiritual aspect of this radio station. We broadcast live 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Myself, Michael, David Williams, Mike Reed, Bert, our broker, occasionally Leslie pops in, occasionally we have special guests that drop in for a chat. But the other 22 hours of the day, and 24 hours a day on Saturday and Sunday, or on market holidays, what you'll find on this radio station is some of the best, in my opinion, teaching and preaching available anywhere today. And not to offend anyone here, not the old school, you're bad and you're going to hell stuff, because I'm not going to say, there's an element of truth to that, okay, but we all grew up with the hellfire, damnation, brimstone religion, or a lot of us did anyway, okay, and I'm not saying that that doesn't have its place, but on the station, more what you'll hear addressed is popular culture, how to live a life that brings honor to God, how to be a good dad, how to be a good husband, things of that nature. That's what we strive for. How you can serve God in your best possible way. How you can serve your community, your family, your church. How you can serve at work. That's right. Hey, I'm nobody's servant. Well, yeah, you kind of are. If that man hands you a paycheck with his signature on it, yeah, you may talk about him behind his back, okay? You may grumble at the water cooler. You know what? You've run afoul of Scripture there, because you're not supposed to do that, okay? But that's a sermon, and I didn't come on to preach. I just wanted to let those of you know who are new that the only thing that's really going to show you who we are is if you stick around. If you choose to dial into this radio program every day at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, I got to go change all of those EDTs all over the internet to, what is it, EST now? I should just use Eastern. I should just use Eastern, and then I never have to change it, right?
All right.
That's what I'm going to do. All right. So, for those of you who are new, welcome. So glad to have you with us. I do see one question from Charles. Charles says, on those tweets, can you put the time? Because on the tweet, when I look at it, it just says 1 hour ago or 2 hours ago. Let me show you this, Charles, real quick. And then we go to David. See right there where it says 11 hours ago? If you hover over it, it says 11.02 p.m., November the 16th. Now, that's my time zone. Okay? 13 hours ago, 9.17 p.m., November the 16th. 16 hours ago. 5.49 p.m. yesterday afternoon, November the 16th. I'm in Arizona. I'm on Mountain Standard Time. Part of the year I'm on Pacific Time. Part of the year we're Mountain Standard because we don't do Daylight Savings Time. So with all that said, we invite you to take our free trial, cfrn.net/apply. Tune in when we're not live talking about the markets and enjoy some of the other incredible programming that we have to offer. I'm going to tell you, it's good stuff. I listen to it myself. My iPhone, my iPad, my little app, TuneIn Radio. Oh, my goodness. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't get my spirit fed by this station, CFRN, because I'm somewhere waiting on somebody, doing something, or just kicking it. And I got my earbuds in, and I know one place where I can go where I'm going to hear something that I can take away something that's going to make my life a little bit better. So I hope you'll enjoy it as well. We'll pause now for a short station identification, and we'll go to David Williams at PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne. How are you?
Very good, sir. And I believe I heard Mr. Mike Reed there in the background, did I not?
Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hi, Michael.
How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Great to have you. How are you feeling, Mike?
Oh, much better. Much better.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. So, all well, good.
You're the star of the show.
No,
Dwayne
no,
and I
no,
will
no.
move into the background in sort of
no,
a fog-like
no.
existence. We want to hear from you.
No. I listen in on occasion when I'm not on here, but I know who the show is, David.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, Michael.
You're well.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Did I say good morning to Michael Bork as well? Is he still with us?
I'm still here. I think you skipped me, but that's okay.
Well, I didn't mean to.
That's all right. I can take it.
All right. No, you're right. You're a tough guy. I know.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right.
So, Mike Reed.
Sometimes you just have to admit it hurts. Yes. Yeah.
So, Mike Reed, tell us how you're doing and how you're seeing these markets, because folks get a chance to hear David and I yammer back and forth every day. So, David, we'll pepper you with a few random questions, but
that's right.
We just kind of want to hear from you a little bit, you know. Tell us what's going on in your life and what you think about the markets, and in particular this drop we just took. That was a doozy.
Actually, we were expecting, was expecting 1218 to be reached, and then the next level is 1212, and they got there really fast. We had, I was looking at, on Tuesday night, we put out an update for, the market had likely topped and we were going to get, more volatility and, potential, breakdown. And, it's because basically looking at the, chart of the VIX had such a tiny range for the week, and that didn't bode well for it just meant that the volatility is going to pick up. It had a the weekly range the previous week was about 1/10 of that size, so that was due to make a big move, and normally the big moves are to the downside, and so was telling me that the market was very complacent. There was no fear out there among options traders, especially where hedging long positions. So it was pretty bearish, and not just avoiding long side except for a few trade yesterday where we had a run up to 1297 resistance, 1297. 1298 was the key area. And then that was a reversal up there yesterday, and they, when they hit them hard again, and we were expecting, again for more volatility today, they really got hit pretty hard here. And I think now in order to get some kind of respite from this, that they'll have to get back over, 1218. And then hold that level on a pullback after clearing 1218, and then be able to hold that on a pullback. That'll give it a breather, but I don't, I think we can go back down, potentially. The NASDAQ, I mentioned the NASDAQ, which, really led this thing. It had 2290 as, if you look at the range on that, it's that was a breakdown area, and that when that went this morning, right? They touched that this morning and tried to base out there, and they got a decent bounce off of that when it was taken out. Then on the next move down, the whole, I told our group that expect the rest of the market to get really hit along with the NASDAQ. So kind of I've been trading that more than the ES here yesterday and today. It's just been kind of in a free fall, and pretty much it was an easier trade, at least for me. But anyways, I don't think that we come roaring right back from this. That would be a pretty big surprise to me. So I guess that's about it. I think the VIX signals were the key. That just no fear out there, and I guess they injected some here today. I don't know if there was any news out, but I think it was from a technical perspective when they took out the double bottom at it. 1224 level on the ES, that just accelerated this to the downside. But that's kind of what I was looking at here. Now around this time frame, we had bottoms between 11:30 and 12:30 area this week. At least pullback lows were a bounce from this time frame. That's probably what we got going right now. But again, I had to see him get over 12:18 and stick above that just to take some of this pressure off.
Very good. Dwayne, are you still there, or are you dry cleaning?
I'm right here, buddy. You were going to pepper him with questions.
All right.
Pepper him with questions.
Well, I don't know if I have too many, but yeah, we do have a nice decline underway, no doubt about it. We have some things that we're going to, I'll add to it a little bit later, or if Dwayne, if you want me to now, or tell me how you want to tie it all together, because I can throw in my two cents right now as well, along with
you. Going to stick with us for a while, Mike, or you got to go? Or
I told the group I could be here for a half an hour, so.
Well, then we'll let David talk for a little bit, and you might want to pepper him with some questions.
Well, yeah, you might pepper. Sure. We'll pepper back and forth.
We'll pepper each other.
We can pepper each other.
I want to pepper Dwayne too. Now he's
Well, Dwayne doesn't have many answers.
You know.
No, he has a lot of questions, but not a lot of answers. okay. Let's see, a couple quick things. This morning, right at the open, we had texted our institutional followers that the market is likely going to decline to 1203 to 1204 into November 21st or lower. And so we've already gotten a good piece of that done. We've already gotten down to 1208.75. November 21st, it will be a bottom. Under normal conditions, it will be a bottom that the market then has a very important multi-day advance off of for sizable points. And we'll give all the details as we get a little closer to it. I have them now, but let's trade these down. So as far as we're concerned, to make it very simple, we're looking to sell rallies into November 21st if we're not already lower at that point than 1204, 1203. So any rally is selling territory for a decline to 1204, 1203 or lower, and that's our outlook, and that's how we're going to trade it. So, and that's how we have been trading it today. Since the open. The thing is that, as I mentioned on the program during the week, the market had to stay above 1237, as you may recall for the listeners, that they had to continue to close above 1237. Otherwise, it would indicate sharply lower prices. Yesterday, we closed below 1237, which we closed at 1231. That set into motion right then and there the need for the market to go down to 1204, 1203 into November 21st. And as I've mentioned several times, November 21st was the next important date, and that we expected the market to, on or near that date, complete and break out of this wedge formation that we've been in, which some people might actually consider today to be a breakout of that, depending on how you read pattern recognition. So that's our big outlook. That's the main thing that we have right now. November 21st will mark the next important bottom. We should continue down to 1204, 1203. We want to sell rallies for further decline into that. And then we're going to trade the November 21st bottom up for substantial point gain. And I'll give you all the numbers on that, probably on Monday, rather than confuse the issue now, you know, with a lot of different numbers and stuff. So that's basically everything that we have right now. The main thing was that, as we said a couple days ago, the market will break this wedge on or before the 21st. And there's a reason for that, and it has to do with the way that the cycles work. It depends, again, on how you read the wedge and how you draw lines, but I think many people might think that the wedge was broken again already today.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say also, the caveat to this is that the market now needs to close below 1238 from now on. So if you wanted to, I know that's way the heck up there, but as we mentioned all week long, the market needed to close above 1237. Well, we're going to add a point to that now, and as long as they stay below 1238. Everything is bearish at this point. You know, basically, as long as we're below the breakout point, which for us was 1237, the market stays bearish into November 21st. That will mark a very important bottom in this market. So I would, you know, there's going to be some trades that maybe you can take on the long side, et cetera, between now and then, but I would be cautious until you at least get to the one day early, and even then, which is tomorrow, because Monday is November 21st, I'd be cautious on the long side until they complete 1204, 1203, and I'd even be cautious, of course, like I always am and like I suggest others are, on the one day early. So that's our outlook. You can pepper me with questions. No, just joking. So does that fit in with anything that you're looking, Michael, or do you...
I think that we did break that wedge. I know that NASDAQ has an... that should... I think it brought the rest of the market down through it here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the NASDAQ definitely has, hasn't it?
Yeah. And that's... was watching it for leadership the last 2 days, kind of following its tracks, and
That's good.
So that's, and we continue to tell them that yesterday and today, just to keep an eye on the NASDAQ, and the market's going to go where it goes, and it had kind of a little bit of a lead time, not a whole lot, but but anyways, it was the main focus here for the last couple of days, and it broke here pretty big, and I think when they broke 1218 was breakdown for the ES, and it tried to hold around there, and now we bounced back, just missed it here on the bounce. It's for intraday here is kind of important, I think, but.
Well,
let's see what else we have. Do you keep other indicators like, I know a lot of people use price for indicators, but do you use any of that as a filter?
A particular indicator or?
Yeah, and like, some people use RSI or MACD.
No,
or,
I don't. What I'm doing, this particular setup, I mean, we can talk about individual setups. This particular setup is basically our classic, like a roadmap or spatial relationship setup, and it doesn't require, and it won't be helped by an indicator because it's ahead. You know, it's forecasting something that hasn't yet happened in price, so it's going to be faster or earlier than an indicator. But people have asked me before what indicators I like, and there are a couple that I like, even though I don't use them, and I'm not sure how usable they are, even though I kind of like them. One of which it has always attracted my eye for some reason was Bollinger Bands. I don't use them, and I never really figured out a way to use them. I mean, I know what the books say, how to use them, et cetera, but I never really got something out of them to use them in actual trading, but I always was kind of attracted to those. The classic indicators, the stochastics and RSI and stuff like that, I honestly, for me, I don't have any use for. There are a number of good ways to use those. I'm positive. I know some very good traders, and I know you, Mike, and I know you use some certain indicators. People learn how to use them in some effective ways. Let's see, what else? If I was going to use an indicator, the MACD is not a bad indicator. That's one that I kind of like. But all this stuff is predictive and it's way ahead. The indications, put it this way, an indicator might be very useful not in forecasting the thing to happen, but once the thing starts to break certain price levels, indicators are reading, bearishness, confirmation, exactly. To use it in a confirmation form is probably very good, and that's about the best thing that I could say. I can't use the indicators to forecast, but I can use indicators to confirm that a forecast is now underway. and there are some, I think there are some real good values, like the VIX indicator, something that I know that you like. Can be very valuable if somebody knows how to read it. And I want to tell you, and I think this goes without saying, I think a lot of people think they know how to read the VIX indicator. And there may be some very basic ways to do it, but the VIX indicator has some real nuance to it as well.
Yeah.
I think you would agree with me on that.
Yeah.
And it requires more study than just saying, well, it's, you know, it's historically overbought or oversold or whatever. There's a lot more information in there if somebody wants to take the time to read it. So.
Yeah. It has to be normalized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just take a basic raw number and say, over 40 is a buy, and under 20 it's a sell. That's just,
right. That's a little bit dry.
Yeah.
That's a little dry there. The market has to be taken into context with regard to what the bigger picture is, what really is happening on larger time frames. You can't just look at one time frame and get the information you need in its entirety all the time, because that one time frame isn't what rules the market. There's other things that are going on in the market, and your one time frame, the VIX as an example, or other indicators, like as an example, an oversold indicator. If you put up a 5-minute chart, your oversold indicator has told you that the market's been oversold for the last 2 hours or last 10 hours, right? And so it was oversold on a 5-minute chart. If you were a 5-minute guy that looked at nothing else, you would say, you know, why isn't this thing working? You know, I keep buying it, it keeps going lower. So that's what I mean. You know, I know you know this, Mike. I'm just saying for the purpose of the audience and people understand that time frames make a much broader picture for you that you can really put some decent trades together. The best thing is to have a high probability setup, and high probability means that you know what the surrounding circumstances are to your particular trade. And you, if the surrounding circumstances are in favor of your trade, the other time frames, then it can be very, very useful to use those and get yourself a high probability setup.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think. That's how I roll. If I was a teenager, that's what I'd say. That's how I roll, Dad, or whatever.
Okay.
What about you, Michael? What's your favorite indicator?
Mine are based on the market internals. Number of advancing issues, declining issues, up and down volume. So it's basically the if you have the market as a patient, I'm opening it up and looking at the inside, the guts of it, I guess. And so I have a number of indicators that I've either built on my own or taken and made a twist on, you know, like an older indicator. So like, you know, my McClellan oscillator. It was popular for at least in the early days when I started trading. That's just simply based on advancing and declining issues. But you have a number of those. Like I have a 3-day thrust oscillator that I like. I have my RBI oscillator. And I like it when they come together and I'll have the indicators in it, and either a red or a green, which are coded in the spreadsheet, too extended on the upside or too extended on the downside. And when I get a bunch of them lining up, I'm looking for a fastball down the middle. And that's what I get. A pitch I can hit a pretty high probability trade with minimal risk in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things I like to see. They're on it's on an end of day basis, not a when we get close to. If it looks like the indicators are like a day away from being a good setup, then I'll go in and run the numbers and see where we're at. Should we close at such and such a level? Like if we close here, would I have a setup for a buy or sell? And if that's an occasion, then I'll sometimes put on overnight positions with the options market.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's what I like are the internal gauges that keep me I guess for an indicator rather than the price indicator. It seems that a lot of those will say the same thing, depending on how to use it.
They do. A lot of price indicators say the same thing. Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you ever yell anything at the screen like, come on, baby? Is that effective for you? Or you have your own thing that you yell?
That doesn't work anymore.
I mean, it's so overused. I know. So many people use it now. It's like Elliott Wave. I mean, there's too many people using it, and this effectiveness has been lost. So we're going to have to come up with another
thing. You know, I did use Elliott Wave, or try to, way back in the beginning, you know, right at the beginning of the trading career.
From what I hear, Mike, there's a lot of people still trying to use it.
Oh, well, good luck.
I said that.
Only if,
it's one of the most interesting ways I know to lose money.
Yeah.
It's, no offense to any Elliott Wave people. It's just, I'm not that smart. I can't.
It's like an economist. You can put five of them in the same room and ask them for their outlook, and you'll get five different opinions or five different wave counts. Mm-hmm. But when you see something, like when I see on a daily chart, let's say, I see something that looks like a perfect five waves or something like mm-hmm. that, or then I'll do some work with it. And, you know, for instance, an Elliott Wave, there's five wave structure or a three wave structure. I might look for a symmetrical move or that type of thing. I think we may have symmetry even today. I think we dropped about 27 points off of yesterday's high to the low. Mm-hmm. And then had a bounce today up to, was it 34.5? If it was at 34.5, then I think you take 27 points off. Is this today's low so far?
Okay.
So
well,
we
are going lower. Just to let you know that.
I'm with you on that.
Go ahead, though.
But I would use it something like, you know, like we'll look for like somewhere around an equal size move.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about the only time that I'll, if it's like a perfect pattern, and I imagine that there's a, more than just Elliotticians that have it on their screen or in their outlook, and maybe makes it for more people looking at that, may make the move come about a lot easier, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for Elliott Wave.
I know.
Especially if you're trying to use it intraday or whatnot, there's better ways to trade.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. There's just better ways to trade, easier ways to trade,
right,
and less complicated. And even if you have a complex system, there has to be something in the system that you can really hang your hat on. And in Elliott Wave, you know, maybe there is something in there. I know a lot of the computerized programs look for wave four pullbacks and, you know, certain things to happen and certain indicators, and then they want to buy the market. But putting that aside, in general, we're looking for something that you can really hang your hat on, something that's not open to a lot of interpretation. Because if it is, then you can't know whether it's high probability or not. If it's open to too many forms of interpretation, it may later turn out and you can say, see, it worked out. It shows that Elliott Wave works, but you couldn't have traded it because you couldn't have the certainty that you need. There has to be some point where you can say, this is something I really understand right here. This is what I think it's. The probabilities are very high that this certain thing is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, you need something you can hang your hat on, whatever your technique is, whether it's indicators or reading price bar charts or reading the ticker tape or, you know, whatever it is that you do, you have to have something where you can say, I know this part of the river really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you may only have a couple of those parts of the river that you know well. And that's it. And that's like myself. I know just a couple little parts in the river, pretty good, and I wait for those parts to come about, and I'm trying to learn other things about other parts of the river. It's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different things that can happen out there, obviously, and unless you believe the market's completely random then you will find that there are spots in the market where the probabilities are very high that certain things are going to happen, and that you can leave all the random stuff to people who write books about it.
I had that in my econ classes.
You did?
In fact, after we had to read that book, I went back to finish my degree when I was, around 30, in my early 30s. So I had been trading the markets for quite a while, and was, of course, technically based. And we had to read that book. I was like, oh, come on, gag me. I can't believe this. And that's my professor. I kind of really got him going. I got an article out of the Bible for the, let me think here a second.
The Bible for what, though?
For finance. The Journal of Finance. I got an article out of the Journal of Finance that was written by a PhD about random walk being debunked, and that they had found a system that actually could outperform the S&P 500 under certain, and so I sent that to him. And before the semester was over, we an old charting program that he made available to the class, and we ended up picking stocks not just based on the fundamentals that we had gone to, you know, your PE ratio and this and that and the other thing, book value. We're basing it on certain technical studies based in the package that I got or turned them on to. Mm-hmm. How do you turn a finance PhD guy into looking at technical analysis? I must have smooth talked him somehow, but
you had something going on there.
Yeah, but and it was interesting. The class was really more into the technical parts than they were looking at, the fundamentals that the class was basically about. So kind of got things stirred up.
Well, I think in general. Oh, go ahead, finish your thought, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just, it was kind of neat. The class kind of turned on them. So what were we looking at? This random walk stuff. Not just random walk.
I grew up around the academic mindset. I grew up around people that were involved in higher education, et cetera. And I think in the financial side, I think they have their problem is that they've been raised up and educated in PE ratios, which is kind of a technical thing. They've been, but it's based on fundamental news. It's based on fundamentals of the stock, et cetera. And that everything is connected to events, world news, things like this. And they certainly are. And to say to those people, well, no, there's certain things that happen on the chart that have meaning outside of what the news that's driving the market seems to be a stretch. But once you get one of these people to understand that the market as a whole has a nature, that it is actually part of like anything else, it actually has a nature to it, like anything in science does. Once you can get them to accept the fact that it's not merely completely news-driven, and it is very, very news-driven, but that news itself ties into its nature. It's not that news is separate and that the market has its own separate nature. It's all tied in. It's one big thing. It's a very holistic view that gets a person to a technical analysis viewpoint. So, anyway, it's difficult. You know, the argument's not going to be won by anybody. And even if you do show and demonstrate that you can, somehow prove that either by forecasting what the market's going to do, there's always a back door and a way out for the statisticians anyway to say that still falls into the random. I mean, if they really want to, they can still say they're not going to just stand up and go, God, that's really amazing. I think you found something there. They're not going to say that. They're going to stick to their argument until the day they die, just like we're going to stick to our argument. But I'm not sure. I still to this day don't know exactly how you prove kind of a negative that the market is random. That seems like an odd thing to do. One of the ways that they can do it is they can say, well, we've developed a program to play out a random sequence of price bars, and that's indiscernible from the market. It does exactly the same kinds of things. It breaks into trends. It goes up and down. And so, therefore, the market is random. Mm-hmm. I don't think I believe in that as a final proof, but that is going to be one of the proofs that they're going to offer up. Right. It's not a random program will make the market, you know, look like the same, like it goes up and down. Well, of course it's going to go up and down, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, when something happens in the market, then they have to go out and find out what was the news behind that move.
Well, right.
They have to make, you know, make something up. I think that's for the newspapers and the, you know, CNBC or whatnot. But they have to find a reason behind it where, to me, it's obvious. It's broke a triangle.
And we
just, you know, why are you saying this? And we just, yeah. But, you know, can you tell it coming into the day, everything was set up for this thing to, you know, head south or, you know.
I know.
But,
well, that's fine. It's like the Christians and the, whoever else, you know, it's just it's a ever-present battle between the two of them, and it's going to be a long time before that gets settled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, this is in the face of, if I can bring up an old guy, W.D. Gann, who had made numerous forecasts for a specific price movement many, many times over and over and over again, and that has not changed in the least the outlook of the random walkers. So, maybe they don't believe the evidence, or I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, they can have theirs.
That's right. You can eat that pie. Go ahead. Eat all that random you want.
Mm-hmm.
And our work here isn't, in meaning our, all of us, it's not to try to prove to somebody something. It's just to try to find a high probability trading setup and make some money.
All right.
And that's what we want to do.
All right.
Anyway.
That really is what it comes down to.
It really does. It's not, you know, this isn't junior high where we're trying to prove everything to everybody, but we will. Dwayne has arranged for the guy that wrote the book, A Random Walk Down Wall Street. He's going to be on the program sometime in January.
And, oh, man, make sure I know when that's on.
Okay.
Oh,
Dwayne, we'll promote it, and it'll be on the blog, and I'll send you an email. And
okay.
He had asked Dwayne to
go out and get somebody like him and see if we could have an interesting conversation with him, because Dwayne was getting a little boring. We needed somebody else.
Dwayne, you actually got a hold of the author.
Yeah, he emailed me and said he would like to wait until he's got a new edition coming out in paperback. It's going to hit the bookstores in January. And so, yeah, the timing was really good because authors, you know, always want to have an opportunity to talk about a new book they have out. And so it's the same book, but it's like a revised edition where he's added some material, I guess.
So he's forecasting both a time and an actual event that's going to occur in January. I guess that's not random. His book's coming out. It's going to hit the presses on a certain date. It's going to be published on a certain date.
Yeah.
I guess that isn't random.
No.
Yeah,
I don't think his publisher is on Wall Street.
Dwayne, I think that's great what Mike just said. Is the price of the book random?
Well,
is that price random?
What's funny is it is published by Random House.
Yeah, that is funny. No, that is really good.
That is good.
That is a riot. We're going to have to rib him about that.
I only wish that were true. I have no idea who the publisher is.
No, that's really good. That's very funny. Dwayne, you made your points for today. There you are. Those are better than S&P points for me.
So, yeah, Mike, I'll be sure to let you know. And it'll be an interesting discussion. And we won't ambush him or anything. And I'm really interested to hear, you know, what he says. It may be that his non-random parameters are his random parameters may be so wide, because I haven't read the book. I have like the Cliff Notes version that I made available to everyone on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it though. It may be that his parameters for random are so wide that what we do fits perfectly inside of that.
Yeah, that's one of them. And the other thing is that he's going to say it's indiscernible from computer random generated market stuff. That's going to be definitely going to be something he brings up, that it looks the same, acts the same, does the same kind of behaviors, and so therefore it's random.
Well, you know, he could bring up his random price charts, and we could take our formations or whatnot, and he can trade it.
Possibly. I'm not sure that we could trade effectively off a truly random chart. That's the funny thing. I'm not sure that we could actually know that if it really was random, could we trade it?
In fact, you know
what I'm saying? It might be that it has to not be random for our stuff to work. You're suggesting maybe that even if it was random, we could trade it, and maybe that's the case. I don't know.
Some formations possibly, but like he said, yeah, I think the human aspect where we have the emotions of actual human beings at play, that's what moves the markets, I think.
Yeah.
Rather than a coin flips, a series of coin flips to build a price chart, so.
Yeah. That old coin flips argument. Pretty tired, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flip the coin 100 times.
Yeah.
50% of the time it is.
But, yeah. I don't think I'd make my money. I made my money trading emotion, and that's basically what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. And the one time that the coin turns up heads 10 times in a row, then the argument leads to, oh, okay, so when I'm in this room,
sample size,
it comes up heads more often than when I'm in that room. Mm-hmm. And how many times do you have to go through that to, yeah.
And I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's possible that all of us are right, that it is random and yet it is somehow forecastable. Or it may end up being that it isn't random and that it is, I don't know. I really don't know, because I know statistics has a really complex thing. It's a very deep subject, and you have to give some respect to it, because it's not as easy as you may think to know statistics. But that's why it's going to be interesting to have him on and just really kick his butt. No, I'm just joking, Dwayne. We're going to be really nice to him.
Any other markets you're talking about, Dave?
I respect him in kind of a random kind of way myself. Go ahead, Dwayne.
You want to talk about gold or anything else? Anything else cooking?
All right. Okay.
Guys, tell you guys bye here for.
Okay.
Of course.
I have to get back to my group.
All right,
but,
okay.
Great to have you, Mike.
Expect me to pop in more often here as long as things are back to normal.
All right. Okay,
that's all right with you, Dwayne.
Yeah, that looks good.
David, don't want to interrupt David's time.
It's your time.
I would love to have you on. We have a great time together, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. Really am.
Hey, how's Julie doing?
This is fun today. How's Julie doing?
Yeah.
Julie, how you doing, babe? It's our anniversary tomorrow. She just reminded me.
Aw. Happy anniversary.
Okay. Well,
I just had my 29th anniversary last weekend.
Yeah. Oh, congrats.
29 years.
Happy anniversary.
Long time. Yeah, happy anniversary to both of you guys. What is it now?
How long have you been married, Mike?
2 years? 3 years?
3 years.
3 years.
Four.
Wow, that does fly. Okay.
We've been together for 11 years, so.
That is very nice.
Awesome.
It's going to come on an on-time date.
Yeah. Is it plus or minus one unit of time?
For me, it is. I'm guessing
Tell her that you're accurate within one unit of time on your anniversary date.
And that could be one
plus
month.
Plus or minus 1 year. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Mike. Well, great to hear from you. I'm glad you came on, and we'd love to have you on anytime. So.
This was fun. Dwayne, thanks for having me as usual.
All right, buddy. You betcha. Take good care. Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Soon we'll talk off air. How's that?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Okay.
I look forward to it.
All right, good.
See you later, Mike.
Yes, have a good day.
You too. Well, that was fun, Dwayne.
Yeah, good to hear from him. Here's the gold chart, David. Big down day.
Okay.
Whoa.
Big down day. We had been forecasting that next week is the on-time week for a top in gold. And it obviously occurred one trading week early, which was this week. And that the size of this move is what indicates that. However, having said that, gold is set up for a bottom on tomorrow, November 18th. would be the initial low after this weekly top. So we've had a 1 week early top. The market has moved lower, and under normal conditions, tomorrow, Friday, November 18th, would be the next important initial daily bottom. Now, because it's a weekly top, remember, we're really looking for a multi-week sideways to lower move. So, in fact, the fact that there is a bottom on the daily chart for tomorrow in December gold means that, yes, there'll be a multi-day bounce, but the bigger picture is going to be sideways to down for several weeks. So keep that in mind. This is a market that I think it would be wise to sell rallies, especially those of you who have reflected wave. And for those of you who are new, if you want to read up on it, you can go to masterforecastercourse.com and read a little bit about reflected wave. If there's, Dwayne had said there's some new people on today. And our company is PageTrader, PageTrader. But if you want to learn about the turning point method, go to Master Forecaster Course and it'll give you some idea. This particular top that came 1 unit early is also part of a roadmap type of a setup. And so the multi-week decline, when it gets done, this is going to be another setup for a sizable move in gold on the upside. But for the time being, it's bearish and selling rallies is in order now that they've confirmed that the on-time week, that the turn actually occurred 1 week early. Tomorrow's Friday, November 18th, is the daily bottom, first important daily bottom. And for shorter-term traders, there could be some decent trades on the long side. But I would be careful with the long side against a weekly top. I mean, it'll be tradable, but I would definitely be fast to book gains, etc. And my interest in this market would be to sell any important rallies until the next date that we would give out. So hope that's of use. You can see, again, also, we had originally forecast when the market had broken out of the 1680 level that it was going to run up to 1780 or higher. 1782 or something was our number that we had forecast on the program. They did. They got up to about 1804, getting through the 1782. They banged back and forth and really have gone sideways until now when we've broken out on the downside. So one of the things I like to see if I'm going to trade 1 week early, and I'm only long in gold right now because we have a longer term position, but I like to see the market testing an important level and failing there like they did roughly at the 1782 level, where they spike it and then have a bunch of days closing at or near that level and then finally break out on the downside. But typically I really prefer to see the on-time week or 1 week late to really put on a really comforting trade or a comfortable trade for me. Not comforting, but comfortable. So
now, a couple years ago on this radio program, we on our blog, and it's still there, you guys can go and have a look at it. A couple years ago in Germany, they actually started putting out vending machines in various locations where you could buy gold coins. And I posted a picture of one of the vending machines, and I said, you know, this really kind of says something about, you know, the future for gold. And of course, other people use the argument that, oh, this is the sign that it's
contrary,
all done.
Right.
You know,
it's
so
over.
Whatever. But the Chinese people, I read an article this morning, the Chinese government is encouraging their citizens to buy gold, either through the Pan American Exchange or just however they can get it. Now, that's an interesting thing for a country to do. Now, this isn't like the Chinese equivalent of, you know, Rush Limbaugh or the other guy who do the commercials for the buy the gold coins people. This, although, you know, their government's not exactly like our government, but anyway, their government, it's like a public service announcement, you know, you'd see on, like, you know, on TV here, check for lumps, you know, men go get a prostate exam, that kind of thing. In China, a public service announcement would read, buy gold. Now, you gotta sit back and think, that's a lot of people in China. How many people?
billions.
What's the billions? I mean, is it 1 billion, 2 billion? I don't know. Speaking of big numbers, did you hear about the new chip that was released, I think, yesterday from Intel? Can do a trillion.
The 6-core?
It can do a trillion calculations a second.
Hmm.
It's called the Knight. Knights? Somebody will type it in here in a second. But anyway, and I thought a trillion calculations. I mean, this has been like the decade of the trillions or the year of the trillions, you know, trillion-dollar bailouts, mm-hmm. and they now get a trillion calculations in 1 second on a chip. But yeah, I just want to, because a lot of people are maybe thinking, and I'm just giving this to you for your own, you know, for you to make your own decision about. A lot of people, I'm sure, are out there saying, you know, gold has run its course, it's all over, it's a done deal, you missed the biggest run in history. Paulson sold a $3 million holding in gold the other day. We talked about that just briefly. Okay, there may be a pullback. There may be a severe pullback or even a sinister pullback. I just think that it's different from other asset classes. It's not a stock. It's not a bond. It's not a currency. It's something different. Am I saying that you should put all your money in gold? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when a billion plus people, however many that is in China, you know, whatever, are being told by their government, and these people are accustomed to doing what their government tells them. Are they not, David? Isn't that kind of the, you know, if you don't, they run you over with tanks.
I think so. They run you over with
tanks in Tiananmen
Square. It's more of a democracy now. Yeah. Right. It's more a democracy now than it ever was before. But some people would take the contrarian view that now that a government's telling it to all of its people to buy, that would be an Elliott Wave way of looking at it, that's a contrarian thing, that suddenly everyone's all bullish on gold now when it's 1,000, you know, governments are telling their people to buy it. Very similar to our government having told that everyone should own a house because houses are going up, and when our government did that, it wasn't that long afterwards that housing prices went down to about half of their total value.
Well, see, David, here's the way I view that. The government accomplished their goal. The government said, what they actually said, they didn't really say how you should own a home because prices are going up. What they said was everybody should be able to afford a house. And now the guy who's working the sign on the freeway on-ramp, he can afford a house.
Mm-hmm. But the reason they did that is because the housing market was booming, and they wanted everyone to have an opportunity to have a piece of that dream.
I guess if you have to explain the humor, it's really not that funny.
I'm sorry?
I said, I guess if you have to explain the humor, it's really not that funny. So
no, all right, I got you. Okay. It wasn't bad.
Well, they got what they wanted. Now, you know...
They did.
Literally everyone.
They did. And I'm just saying that here's a government now that's doing a similar thing. You know, an argument could be made, the contrarian view. But it's, you know, you have to make your own decisions in making buys and sells on the market, et cetera. But when a whole country starts, the government saying, hey, just now it's starting to be a good time to buy gold. Well, where were you over the last 10 years telling your people to buy gold, Mr. and Mrs. China? Because, you know, it's $1,000 beyond its old high. Is this now just when you start getting, is this when your trend following system kicks in for China? Is, you know, when it's at $1,800 an ounce, starting to be interesting to buy gold? And gold may well go higher. It's such a large cycle that it's hard for us to put together because we need more data and a lot of it in order to really get an idea of where and when, you know, very price levels, et cetera. But the bottom line is that, it is interesting, and a person could make the argument all those people are going to buy gold. But I also want to say that I think whatever buying has been done, that whatever the government's move was and how people react to it, a lot of that is already in the market. I don't think you're going to see a brand new wave from China initially or now or whenever. A lot of that's in the market already. So that's just my belief. It certainly sounds good to say, well, there's going to be a billion people that are going to go buy gold. But, you know, that argument just came out, or that thing came out, and gold's down substantially here. So it hasn't kicked in right away or, you know, I'm not sure that you'd be able to
measure
that.
I'm not sure that they came on TV and said you need to run out and buy gold today. It's like a theme.
Yeah.
It's like
a theme.
It's
right.
Become
I got you.
A part of their beliefs, you know, and it's spreading in India. In India, you always saw a lot of gold buying around the wedding season, but it's starting to. It's become more than just a seasonal wedding kind of thing in India. And so you start adding China and India. If those people seriously, as a part of their culture and maybe their government or whatever, if all of those people decide, accumulating gold might be a good idea. Whether it sends it to the moon or not, I don't know. All I do know is that there is a limited amount of gold on planet Earth. It's not like a stock where they can hold a board of directors meeting, a shareholders meeting, and issue more stock.
Right.
You can't dilute the float on gold. You just can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying we found every ounce of gold that exists on planet Earth, but whatever exists on planet Earth, that's all there is. He's not making any more. He's finished. He said, I've done good, and I'm done.
Okay. We had originally forecast that the 14th would be a top in gold on your program. The 14th did come on time, and now that leads us down to the next date, which is Friday the 18th, for this bottom on the daily chart for gold. The weekly top is still in play. So just to clarify one more time, the weekly top is underway. It rules the market. There's going to be an intermediate daily bottom that occurs on the 18th, and then there'll be a bounce, and then the weekly will continue to express itself. And so just keep that in mind. That's the big picture view that we have for gold. And then if those of you who have an interest, November 23rd also is an important date as well, which I think is Wednesday of next week. And we're inching in on Thanksgiving at that point. So I'm not sure how much trading there's going to be, but that also is going to be important in our work as well.
Right. Next week is Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah, they're really for next week because Wednesday is a travel day. Mm-hmm. I think some people are going to be taking Wednesday off and it'll just be a two-day week. I mean, this will be a very long holiday. Others might trade all the way up to Thursday, but we won't be trading Thursday. At the very worst, we'll be gone. Our last day will be either Wednesday or Tuesday. It depends on how the market trades during the week, but a lot of people travel, a lot of people take the long holiday, and you know how it all goes. So,
now, Bert, are you there? The exchange is closed for the holiday Friday, I believe. Even if it's not closed for the holiday Friday, I mean, if it is, the markets will open Wednesday afternoon. That will be called the Thursday session. And they will trade up until about 9:30, 10 o'clock Thanksgiving morning. I'm not suggesting that anybody should go and trade that market. I just want you to know that the market will be open. And then it will close. And then it will open Thursday afternoon for the Friday session. And will trade into Friday morning. And if Friday is going to be a holiday, then again, it will stop around 9:30, 10 o'clock. But I actually think, if I'm not mistaken, the markets observe Thanksgiving Day as a holiday, but the market itself, I believe, and somebody in the audience, feel free to bring me up to speed on that if I'm wrong, the market will be open Friday. Not saying you should be there. I think everyone should be, you know, maybe spending some time with your family, that kind of thing. It is Thanksgiving. So, we'll broadcast, we'll definitely broadcast Monday and Tuesday.
That's what I'm planning on anyway.
We'll broadcast on, and I know we're going to do the live trading room, unless Michael has other plans. I guess we'll go through Wednesday, and then, guys, we'll probably take off Thursday and Friday. We might come in Friday. We'll see. If the market's going to be open, we might come in. So, David, you can let us know whether you want to join us or not.
It's going to be a very, very, it's going to be a very quiet day.
Sure.
Believe me, on Friday. Very quiet in the markets. There'll be nobody there. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Let's go back to it. So that's the outlook on gold right now, and so that means that there is a potential trade coming up. We're coming into the weekend here, but, you know, if somebody wants to they could take a look at the gold market as a potential future setup for the bottom that we're talking about. And let's go over also, take a quick look at a couple other markets here. So the weekly top is obviously, again, is in, and we're looking for a multi-week decline off of that. The interest rate market is still near its recent highs. We've had some very, you know, this is the U.S. Treasury bond market. We may not trade this much, but there's a lot of information in this market that you can glean from it that, you know, has importance, I think. And as we've talked about before, we believe that this last quarter that we're in right now, this is actually the on-time quarter for a top in the 30-year Treasury bond market. And so why is that important to you? Because it means that when interest rates are down low, that means the bond market's rallying. So if the bond market rallies, interest rates decline. If you want to purchase something with low interest, if you're going to use credit rather than buying something outright, and you have to be very, you've heard this a million times, you have to be responsible with your credit. But if you are going to buy something on credit, there's not going to be much cheaper money for a long, long time after this quarterly top gets in. Now, it's a quarterly top. It could, you know, it looks like it's going to be probably a multi-year decline, which means interest rates will go up. And I'm not an economist, et cetera, but I do know the chart, and I do know that there's an important top being put in. So you might consider, if you're looking at buying a condo or an apartment or a small home or whatever, the interest rates on 30-year money, 15-year money are going to be very, very low. And that will help you. If it's an assumable loan, that would help you sell the house later. It probably, maybe it wouldn't be an assumable loan, but bottom line is it could be a very cheap way to get into a home at this point. So consider that. So the interest rate, quarterly top, we're looking for a multi-quarter decline off of the top that's made in this last quarter of 2011. That means interest rates start going up. That's what that means. And we are, I don't have much just yet, again, on the euro. The euro's been kind of quiet today, tested yesterday's low. I would like to have something more on it, but I don't just right now. The crude market, of course, we're continuing to advance off the forecast monthly bottom. That's the same that we've seen in the past, or talked about in the past. Just look around a few other charts here that might be of interest. There's more euro. I think that may be it. And then, of course, I do want to take a quick look at the soybean market as well, because we're now starting to get interested in this market again. Today, the soybean market, this is now January soybeans for next year, the January futures contract. We've broken to new recent lows. So this decline continues underway. The one that started a ways back here several months ago, and it started off of a forecast weekly top. Those of you who have reflected wave know about that top in the soybean market. It came on time, and it was the top that was made on August, the week of August 29th. That top coincided with the top that we had forecast in the euro when we were forecasting the larger decline, the 800-point move in the euro. That was simultaneous to the top that was being made in soybeans. And this goes over that same thing, again, we talked about, where certain rulership takes place for a certain period of time for a number of markets. It can be very useful to know that your indications are the same in a number of markets, because it can really increase the odds of your being correct. And that's all we're interested in. We're not trying to be perfect. It would be nice, but it's not necessary. It just needs to be high probability. The probabilities that the casinos work on out here are extremely small in their favor. They might have a 2% advantage over 50-50, maybe a 5% advantage over 50-50. We're talking about having a probability in the 90s, something like that, or in the 80s, in the high mid-80s, that kind of probability of being right if you know what you're looking for. Those kinds of probabilities are dramatically better than what the casinos operate off of, and if you can keep yourself out of the market until you see those probabilities, you can do pretty well. And even you can even fool around a little bit and still do pretty well, because luck plays its part as well on the positive and the negative side. But as long as you manage your risk, you can do very well. Those kinds of odds can really put the trading on your side. As long as you don't get yourself amped up about trading every minute or every 5 minutes or every day, because some days there's nothing and some days there's a few trades. Sometimes you miss the trade. But if you just stay calm and just wait for the stuff, they show it to you. They will bring you a trade. They will. If you'll just relax, just take it easy, have a seat, get your Starbucks coffee out or whatever you drink and relax and drink non-caffeinated so you're not all amped up and ready to do something. And you'd be surprised. You just wait around and these markets will move around and they'll bring you a very nice looking setup for whatever it is that you understand in the market. They will bring it to you. And then you make your best work, best efforts to trade that setup, and you'll be fine. I promise. I mean, that's how it worked for me. And now, one other thing I was going to mention, Dwayne, this is interesting and kind of new. Our friend Michael, who is this big trader, he's one of our institutional guys that trades lots of contracts a day. He may be coming out to stay with us in early December, stay here in Las Vegas, and trade at the office here for possibly up to 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, right here. And if he does that, it's going to be 1 week at least. But if he does do that, he'll be right here, and we can have him on the radio. You know, he's a pretty low-key personality.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
how'd
like
you learn to trade so many contracts? I started small and worked my way up. Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
How do you hold on to big positions? I watch carefully and manage the risk. Huh. Very interesting. That's very helpful. What do you suggest for people in starting trading? How would you suggest that they, you know when the market's going to make a move? How do you know when the market's going to make a move? I watch the market carefully. If it's going up, I buy. If it's going down, I sell. Oh, that's fascinating, Mike. Listen, we'd love to have you on the program another time, maybe about 3 years from now. No. You know, he's very low-key, and it's deceptive because, and I'm really just making playful fun, but, you know, you have to take what he says and really think about it because it sounds so ordinary, and yet I know him, and I've seen him on a number of occasions trade, and I've seen his account balances, and I've seen positions that have been enormously in his favor. I mean, 6- and 7-digit enormousness, that type. I've seen it on his screen, so I know for a fact that he... it does it, and I've known him for many years now. But this is his way of describing. This is his verbalization of what he's doing. So even though we can make fun of it because it sounds so ordinary to us and we're looking for special magic things in there, this is the magic for him. And so, you know, it's interesting. It's just an interesting thing that, you know, he verbalizes it that way when we try to be much more distinct. We, meaning all of us, we're trying to get more distinct, direct information about something. But he'll be here. If everything works out, he'll be here in early December, and we'll trade for a couple of weeks in December and see if we can, you know, get some interesting radio for the listeners, because they'll want to know. For people who don't know and are new, this is a fellow that trades between 10 to 20,000 e-mini contracts, not per year or per month, but per day. He trades 10 to 20,000 contracts per day. So that's a lot of contracts he's moving.
And there's archives out on the website that you guys can go and listen to past interviews. He's not a braggart or a blowhard.
No,
quite the opposite.
Not in the least.
Quite the opposite.
Not quite the opposite. So he's very low-key about it, has a seat on the exchange to keep his commission small, because at that rate, you know, the commissions would be just extraordinary. And he ran for a long time without a seat on the exchange. So, you know, he was paying those commissions. But now it's, you know, the getting a seat gets you very, very reduced commissions into the pennies. And, you know, he's able to run lots and lots of contracts. But he felt it would be nice to come out here. And I think it would be good for him and for me. I think we may be a little bit of a, we may work, you know, there may be something there that helps both of us. In the scenario. So just keep that in mind, and I'll remind you when he's coming here, and then we'll get a chance to get him on the radio, and we'll have a fun time with him.
When will you know?
Well, he's already told me he's going to do it, but he said possibly the first week of December, and, you know, there's only so many weeks to trade in December, so
right.
It's going to have to be somewhere right around there.
Gotcha.
So he's going to go do Thanksgiving and all that, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
So I'll let you know.
All right. Well,
but that's what I'm planning on.
That sounds good. Yeah, I look forward to it. Any day that he wants to pop in, you know, just let him know he has a standing invitation.
Well, he'll be sitting like 4.5 inches from me here, so if I'm on the radio, it shouldn't be too difficult to get him on.
Good.
So, anyway, like I've said, one of his big traits, one of the things that he does very well, is he trades news very well. He really is a pure technician, but he has a component, a news component, and I think that may be some of his best work, some of his best trading is he's very capable of seeing a setup technically that says maybe the market needs to go down, and then when the news comes out and everything starts turning red, he's on that like a storm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a storm of contracts that he's throwing at that thing, and it's really quite something to see. You know, it really is kind of a little thing to see, and it's just normal for him. But when I first met him 5 years ago, or whatever it was, 4 years ago, he was trading 1,000 contracts a day, and he stayed at our office for
a
full week,
which is a lot.
Which was a lot. I mean, I used to, back then I was thinking, God, that is amazing. 1,000 contracts a day, that blows my mind. Well, you know, now he sometimes exceeds 20 to 25,000. So really huge, huge size, and very, very comfortable in taking the pain, and he's conditioned himself to be at that level where, you know, every tick in the market is several hundred thousand dollars plus or minus for him. So kind of scary, huh?
Well, it is, and you know, and again, we.
I told him for Halloween, if I want to dress up something real scary, I'm just going to dress up like him. That's pretty scary, because you know, every tick in the market's like 400 grand.
For anyone who might be new in the audience, we don't bring him on because we're trying to encourage you that you should go large and trade in huge size. We bring him on for a number of reasons. Again, he's a low-key, nice guy. It's fun. It's interesting to know someone that does that, has that skill set, that ability. And it's also kind of nice to let you know how big the opportunity really is. Do I ever foresee myself trading 10,000 contracts in a day? I'll be honest with you. I have a really vivid imagination. I should charge admission. But I don't really see that. I'm not going to rule it out. But I'm not chasing that, you know. You follow what I'm saying, mm-hmm. David? But I think for people to understand that, wow, there are really some people out there that do really, really well and really do make some very good money, because too often what we hear and who we know are, you know, the people that don't. Or we hear the fictitious tales about the guy, you know, who does, wink, wink. I mean, this is actually, and for someone tuning into the show for the first time, I realize that, you know, how do you know that we're credible? Well, I guess you don't, but
we're incredible.
Yeah, we're incredible. That's it. But this is a verified situation. I mean, this is not just, you know, an urban legend. As David has said, he sat there and watched the guy and watched his monitor, and he's been on the show. There's, I think, how many times have you been on? Three?
Three times. I think he's been on three times.
Yeah, if you just Google CFRN Michael Trader X, whatever it was I called him. Maybe I'll post links tonight for you guys. In tonight's blog, maybe I'll just throw a couple little hyperlinks in there for anyone that wants to go back and listen to previous interviews. You can Google them, though, and they'll pop right to the top. But, yeah, it'll be fun to have him and to know that he's going to be there a couple weeks. And so,
I'm delighted. I'm really excited to do that. And I think it's going to be an inspiration to me, and hopefully it'll be helpful to him as well. But one thing that he did inspire in me that I never had gotten this before was obviously that there really is a way to trade size, and you know you can actually do it. It's not, you know, people always go, oh well, you know, I made $50, you know, on one point, so if I would have traded 1,000 contracts, I would have made 50. But actually trading the 1,000 contracts means you're putting, you know, yourself at risk and financially, et cetera. There really is a way to do that. It's just inspiring to see it done. It almost means that it's just the fact that you see it's possible changes your outlook entirely. And he did that for me. And honestly, I went back to trading my normal size after I had been inspired for a while. It would be nice to be juiced up again and have and see that and be in the middle of that. And if I do pick up my size, you know, I'll let you know if that, you know, how his you know, how it affected me out here. So he had bought a monitor when he was out here because he wanted a big screen monitor because of the way he uses his setup, and it's been sitting in the office for a long, long time. And he told us, just don't worry about it, just, you know, sell it or do whatever. But we kept it here, and so when he gets here, he has his whole setup ready to go, and we'll put him on. And, you know, if we want to, Duane, at some point, I know there's the new version of GoToMeeting that allows video. That may be something that we could do as well for the listeners. Maybe they would want to see pictures. I know they would.
If you grab a webcam, that would be great. I never brush my hair before noon, so that kind of leaves me out of the webcam side of it.
Yeah, and I'm too skinny to be seen on a camera. Actually, there's no camera yet that can actually – there's not enough light reflecting off of me.
You have to lay down in the shower to get wet.
I have to – yeah, exactly. They'll have to do something, you know, special effects.
That would be good, and I would enjoy that. In fact, I can see – really, I just had the Brady Bunch thing come to mind with the little squares. There's me and Michael and you and the other Michael and the other Michael and Bert. And we've all got our little square. But, you know, no, less Brady Bunch, more Hollywood Squares. There you go.
Oh,
remember that show?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, what was the guy? Was
that, the yeah, I know. Here, just saying the same thing. What was the guy that was always on, the comedian guy? He would talk... I can't remember who he was. I would know him in a split second.
Charles Nelson Reilly?
No.
Are you talking about the guy that was on Bewitched? No.
Yeah, maybe.
Paul Lynn?
Maybe. Paul Lynn. That's what it was.
Cam gave that up. Paul Lynn. Yep. Paul Lynn. Paul Lynn, wasn't he on Bewitched? I think he was.
He may have been.
He was one of the cousins. Yes, he was.
Yeah,
thank you, Kim.
Been.
Thanks for...
Okay.
Hey, Charles wants to know if you said anything about Apple today. And I can't answer that because I can say that on this radio program, he did not say anything about Apple today.
Hold
on. Aren't you going to do homework or something?
You know, I don't think I did. And it's not just because I forgot. It's because we just finished a seminar and we have a lot going on. I think the only thing that I have is what I mentioned yesterday, which is that, well, for the time being, I appreciate the question. Next week is the on-time week for a bottom. That's the week of November 21st. Remember that gold had the on-time week next week for a top, and now here's a stock that has nothing to do with that that actually has a bottom that's due on that week as well. And this is one of those things that we look for, where we look for markets that have similar setups for time. So... next week would be the on-time week for a bottom in this, and then we can talk about it as we get a little closer to finishing that up to, you know, maybe being a buy signal in the Apple stock. They're trading at 376 right now. These are the stocks that I actually prefer because they move bigger distances and there's just there's more movement in these stocks. The volatility is higher and all that. So... And, you know, with the passing of Steve Jobs, which this decline is possibly fundamentally related to, it tied in with the weekly top. The last weekly top was due on October 17th. And now the next weekly bottom, of course, is due the week of November 21st, and that's next week. So that's about all I really have right now for you on that. I apologize. I might be able to have more, but next week we certainly will track the weekly turn, and there may be something to do with that. You know, make some money for that.
All right. We just traded to new lows on the ES.
Yes.
I took a little bite out of that Apple. I didn't get the full thing, just a little piece of it here because it just kind of fell, you know. But now it just looks like it's really trying to get serious about. Do you have a number, David, on your daily numbers? Do you have anything here?
No, I've already told you. It's 1204, 1203 is due into November 21st. And you're like Charles, because Charles wants to take a little bite out of that apple as well.
Whoa. Today's the 17th.
I know that.
I'm talking about in today's session. What do you call that, your daily?
But you didn't laugh at my joke about Charles wanting to take a bite out of the apple. Because you said you took a little bite out of the apple. He was talking about the Apple stock. It's silly, but it's just to keep
that was good.
The show running.
I'm sorry,
I appreciate it. Yeah. No, the main thing that we have for today is what's coming up into. We forecasted right on the open today that the market would be, you know, the market was substantially higher, that it would head down into November 21st to test 1204, 1203, and November 21st is Monday. Tomorrow is the one day early for that. This is spatial relationship stuff for people that are new. The market works like everything else does in three dimensions. Everything is three-dimensional. So we have a way of hypothesizing, in a sense, those three dimensions, and the market will get into positions where one of those dimensions has to correct for the others and price in order to correct for the other two dimensions has to touch 1204 to 1203 into November 21st. And so that's a setup that would be tradable. We're very close to that now, but as I said earlier in the show, just sell rallies until we get down to 1204, 1203. It can go lower than that, but that's the trade to target. That's the number that's due on November 21st, plus or minus one day. So if you're new, you'll hear us make those types of setups that you can hopefully trade, make some points gains out of that, or just listen to them and watch them and see that there is other ways to put together trades and that the market is, in our estimation, not random and can be proven to be not random. But the proof is in, you know, the pudding, I guess. It's kind of like whoever's watching it, they have to determine if that constitutes proof for them, you know.
I prefer applesauce. But,
yes, that's right. So, other than that, for today, you're asking for a specific number for today, and I'm looking at all of my setups were really geared towards the November 21st date because that, as I've mentioned earlier, is the next really big important turning point date. But it's a really beautiful thing, honestly, what the market is doing when it does these types of moves, where it goes and runs to these particular numbers. By the market getting up below 12, this number that we've talked about all week long, which if they close below 1237, sharply lower prices, and that, you know, the price, the actual price for November 21st is that 1204, 1203. The thing that's happening is bigger than the market. It's not just a market thing. It's a three-dimensional thing. It's a thing that happens to other things too, but it happens in their own way. You'd have to study those things and figure out how they work in their own way with the three dimensions. We figured out a little bit of how the market works within its own three dimensions. And so if you want to think about the markets in a broader way, one thing you could do is you could think to yourself, well, is there anything that isn't in three dimensions? Even your own thoughts are three-dimensional because they require the electricity itself is three-dimensional. Even in a movie theater, the screen that the picture plays on is three-dimensional. Light is three-dimensional. So everything that is manifest has dimensions, has three dimensions to it. And so we're viewing the market when we make that type of forecast in that way. And there really is something to it. And we've demonstrated it a zillion times on the radio program, and we'll continue to. And hopefully you'll get a chance to take advantage of some of that. For the time being, we like the idea of selling rallies into the November 21st date. So any little pullbacks that are, and for those that have reflected wave, sell pullbacks until we get down there sell short any of the rallies that come, any of the important rallies that put in reflected wave tops. Did you have another question, Dwayne, or did I answer that, or?
No, I was just curious if you had any lower numbers in today's support and resistance panel, that was all.
No, that's about it, 1204, 1203. If they break that today, I mean, I can give you some levels that are lower than that are important. Give me 1 minute here because we don't have much that we came up with earlier. Well, the next level below that, it's close by, is 1200 and 1198. 1200 to 1198, that little tiny range in there is important. But for the time being, let's see if we can just get down to into tomorrow the lower numbers that we're talking about. We'll go from there.
Okay.
And I think, Dwayne, I think right now that's just about everything we have got for you today.
Okay.
I'd like to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. Mm-hmm. And put it all together for next week. And next week will be a short week for us. I'm sure it probably will be for you too, Dwayne.
Yes, indeed. I just don't know how short at this point, but we're 100% here Monday and Tuesday, 75% here Wednesday, 50% here Friday, 0% here on Thursday. So I don't know how random is or not, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Well, good. Well, listen, thank you so much. Thanks for the questions today, and I'll see you here bright and early tomorrow, same time, 9:30 Pacific time.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hours, 5 minutes, and 43 seconds of the stuff that made us who we are today. This little short here, I don't know if anyone saw it or participated in it. If you did, it was good for, I don't know, 11, from 1211 down to 1207. So that was like a 4-point move. I didn't get all 4 points, but I just took a little bit of it. The reason for it was, I don't know, I think self-explanatory. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't self-explanatory. And if it wasn't, then come to the partners meeting tonight and I'll explain it. Is the bottom in? That's the big question. Got a red envelope opening up on the 10K. We are below potentially we could pierce that envelope. If we do, we look for a 5 to 6 point move to the downside. Okay, here's the thing, by the time it pierces the red envelope, the move will be underway. Okay, let's see what happens right here. Then I really do have to go. What's that low right there? That low is 12.10 1/4. Hey, here's an idea. Do with it what you feel is right for you. If this rally fails, okay, we got a bullish cross, got a pull up, got a pull back. Actually, after the cross, we never got a pull away. Not yet. Still could. Okay. So, that's the obvious, just if you want to look at it. So, and this is getting ready to cross here. Which, thanks to Mike B, we know that that is now, you know, based on some work that he did as a partner with these very tools. He went to work and burned the midnight oil, and he came back to the partners meeting and said, hey, look what I've noticed. Look what I've come to discover and understand and own and be able to work with, which we were all very happy to see that participation that really starts to give us all, you know, a sense of community, which is the very thing we strive for. Not just a chat room, not just some place where you go and somebody spoon feeds you trades, but where you actually have the opportunity to learn how to trade. Aren't you tired of asking people when to get in and when to get out? Aren't you tired of relying on other people to put on a trade? Now, if the guy you rely on is always right, then maybe you aren't tired of it. But what you've come to learn over time is that he's fallible. whoever your guy is. Okay. So, wouldn't it be nice for a change to just be able to make your own decision? Doesn't mean you can't still confirm with somebody or check with somebody or bounce an idea off somebody. But to actually be in the driver's seat and to say, you know what, I can look at this chart, I can look at these indicators, and I can know when there's a trade and when there isn't a trade. If that's you, we invite you to become a partner. Send an email to support@cfrn.net. If you've never taken a free trial, then we encourage you to do that. cfrn.net/apply. We are giving away an iPad 2 in, quite frankly, just a few days. This month is more than half over. And the iPad 2 goes out, we draw the name, November the 30th. Now, if you've not entered the drawing, there's no purchase required. You simply, when you take the free trial, you go to cfrn.net/iPad. You sign up for the free trial there. That automatically enters you into the drawing for the iPad 2. If you've already taken a free trial, all you need to do is refer a friend, someone you know who's a trader, who hasn't taken the free trial, and I will just bring it up on my screen and show you. It's cfrn.net/iPad. And I got to tell you, as an iPad owner that my wife gave me last year for Christmas, making it probably one of my most memorable Christmases ever, except when I was 8 and got the little cowboy outfit, you just go to this page, cfrn.net/iPad. Okay. Your friend, if you've already taken the free trial, your friend enters his information, and then he puts your name right there and clicks submit. And what happens is you both get an entry in the drawing. Okay? Try to make it as easy as I could. cfrn.net/iPad. This is a twofer. You get entered in to win the iPad, and you get the free trial, which means you come hang out in the live trading room with us 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. I'm sorry. You come hang out with us 2 hours a day for a week. All right. If you become a partner, then you hang out with us for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 months. And then at the end of that 3 month period, if you want to stay on with us for a very nominal fee, you can. Every Thursday night, we do a partners meeting. We come together. Only partners, free trial people don't have access to that. The general public doesn't have access to that. We talk about whatever you guys want to talk about, whatever the partners have questions about, issues with, things they've discovered, come up with, found, you know, that kind of thing. So, again, love to have you as a partner, and we're glad that you chose to tune in today to this radio program. Be sure to tell your friends about us. Tell your friends, tell your family, the people you love the most, because there's a little something here at CFRN for just about everybody, from E-minis, to gold, to silver, to just getting your spirit fed in the middle of the afternoon or the middle of the night when maybe you're feeling a little down, you just need to be encouraged. Point that radio dial to cfrn.net, click the Play Now button, and we stream 24/7. Watch this 12:09:75. I'm going to be watching it. Okay, if we cross here, I'm going to think a little different. See how this didn't slice through here? See how it's starting to kind of just turn? Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. If this comes back down below 12:09:75, okay, then there's a good chance that this turns back down. And then that makes this short trade a high probability setup. You mean it's a guaranteed winner? No. We don't even use that language. I try not to. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you partners tonight in the live trading room. As for the rest of you, again, thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.